Today, my plan is to really set the stage for where we're going, not just in the next sermon series, we'll get to that, but also where we're going this year. And we have, in a sense, a theme verse. It's part of what we just heard read, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. And around that verse, I want to be encouraging us in a couple different ways. One, to continue to be bringing our Bibles with us. We are that three-thirds church, all ages, in God's Word, every day, not because we have to, but because we get to. And we want to continue to live in that. Yes, there's always Bibles here for you. And if you don't have one of your own, we have Bibles to give to you. For some of you, you're used to bringing your own Bible with you. For others, maybe this would be a great New Year's resolution. Bring your Bible with. And in addition to that, something else we want to encourage you to bring with you this year is a journal. Again, for some of you, this is a normal practice that you have. You bring that journal, you're interacting with God's Word. For others, this is going to be something new. If you don't have a journal, guess what? We have a gift for you. We have these journals. They're really nice. They're at the Welcome Center. After worship, you can get one. It has our Messiah logo, and then it has this theme verse engraved from Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. And I'll talk about in a little bit why the journal this year. We'll get to that and what it has to do with our verse for today. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, time in your Word. Thank you for being that God who is able to do far more abundantly than what we can ask or think. And so through your power at work in us today, through the gift of your Holy Spirit, help us to be open to the good news of your Word, to your gift of grace, and to be a people who not only hear this Word, but through you at work in our lives, to be living it out in the everyday places of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, where I'd like to begin is with these verses, Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. These are the two verses that appear on that journal that I shared with you. Would you read with me these words that we see on the screen? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Last Sunday, as we gathered together, we talked about the past and the importance of how it's needed to remember what God has done in the past, to remember his wonderful deeds, those things that God has done that allow for us in the present to fear and to love and to trust in him, but then also to follow by faith into the future where he is leading us, to join with him, to be with him on mission. And at the end of our worship, as we focus on the past, the present, and the future, we sang something together. Does anybody remember what we sang to close out worship last Sunday? The doxology. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now the word doxology comes from the Greek word doxa, a word that means glory, splendor, radiance, all these things belonging to God. And the purpose of a doxology, then, is meant to express the reason for which God is praised. For example, praise God from whom all what? All blessings flow. Now, you might be wondering, okay, that's nice, that's wonderful, but what does that have to do with our reading in Ephesians chapter 3? Well, it has to do a lot. Because you see those two verses in Ephesians 3, the verses that we read together, verses 20 and 21 of Ephesians chapter 3, they are in and of themselves a doxology. But they're even more than that. See, there's this thing called the barakah. We don't really talk about it much, and yet it appears all over the Old Testament. It's a Jewish prayer of blessing that expresses gratitude and praise to God, much like a doxology. And they're all over the place throughout the Old Testament, often beginning with the words, for example, in Psalm chapter 28, verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy." Now, here's the thing about the berakah. At its root word, it's a word that means knee. And the idea is that it's the posture one would take. One would bow down, they would get to their knee, and they would offer this prayer. This prayer of praise and gratitude to God for the many blessings that he provides. Blessed be the Lord. Again, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, that's wonderful, that's nice, but what does that have to do with our reading? If you have your Bibles, would you look with me where our reading began? The first verse that Bill shared with us today, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, what does Paul say? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. You see, this is for Paul the berakah. It is his prayer. His prayer of praise, and he takes this posture, he bows, he gets to his knees to give praise to God. Praise be to God, the one from whom all blessings flow. Does anybody know how Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians? Anybody remember? If you have your Bible, go there with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul introduces himself. He introduces to whom he is writing, the believers in Ephesus, and then how does he begin? Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." A threefold blessing. Again, it is this berakah, this Jewish prayer of blessing and praise to God for the blessings that he gives us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You see, the purpose of this prayer was to be in response to the great acts of God, the wonders of God, what he is doing, has done, and is doing, and will do in our lives, past, present, and future. And here's the question that I want to set before us today. What is the great act of God? Now, there are many great acts of God, plural, but what is the great act of God that Paul is highlighting in his letter to the believers in Ephesus? You can sum it up in a word. Let's see if we know what it is. To get to the answer, we have to work backwards from our reading today. And so, again, looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, where Bill began the reading, it starts with these words, "for this reason," which means, well, we kind of got to work backwards now. What is the reason? And so we look at the preceding verses. We look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, and notice how verse 1 of chapter 3 begins. "For this reason." So we have to look back a little bit further, and that takes us to Ephesians chapter 2. Does anybody know what's at the heart of Ephesians chapter 2? Good Lutherans. Isn't there a passage you typically think of? "For by grace." There's the word. You see, at the heart of Paul's message to the Ephesians is grace. It's really set apart at being at the heart in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5b. "By grace you have been saved." So I want us to talk about this gift of God's grace for a moment and the blessing that it is. You see, God's gift of grace is a gift that comes to us in and through Christ Jesus. Paul expounds on this gift when he says, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. What faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. A faith that is a gift of God. A faith that is not based upon our works, but it is that gift of grace. Grace alone, through faith alone, because of the great work of Jesus. What he has done in his dying and in his rising. You see, God's grace, the grace that we receive today through his word announced to us in a time of confession, a grace that we receive today through the Lord's Supper, a means of that grace. It forgives sins, but even more than that, it offers to us restoration. It is constantly at work in us, making us new. To live lives as children of God, to be obedient from that place of identity. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You see, we are a broken people, and we live in a broken world. It's why we confess today that we are by nature sinful. If you have your Bibles open, look for a moment at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul speaks of it as being dead in our trespasses and sins. But then look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, and what are the two words that come next? But God. I love those two words. But God. They are words that are dripping in the truth and the reality of grace. Yes, there are things working against us in this world, but God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That is what God's grace looks like. And you see, Paul wants us to know, not just with our head, but with our heart, with our whole life, our whole self. He wants us to know about God's great love. And so look with me again at our reading. The verses that precede that doxology today, verses 14 to 19 of Ephesians chapter 3, which Bill read for us. Let's look at these words again. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And so for Paul, this is his barakah, is that prayer of praise and gratitude for the blessings of God. They are giving shape to the doxology to come, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, doxology, we may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, all the believers, what is that breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's what Paul wants us to know about God's great love. He wants us to know the breadth, that is the width, how wide it is. And so picture Jesus on the cross, arms stretched out wide. You see, Paul wants us to know that God's love shown to us through grace and that gift of faith, it is a love that wants not just some, but all to be saved. And that's part of his message, that's part of the mystery that he reveals in Ephesians, that his grace, his mercy, his love, it's not just for the Jew, but it's for Jew and Gentile, for all people, for you and me. He also wants us to know the length of God's love, that it is a love that lasts forever. It is a love with no beginning and no end. It is from God, the Alpha and the Omega. His love is an everlasting love. It is a love that lasts forever. And as a love that lasts forever, it has not and will never fail us. In fact, Scripture says nothing can separate us from this love. It's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's three amazing things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? It has to do with the height of that love. That love, yes, it's for the here and the now, but that love will also last for eternity. There is no end to this love. And because God loves us, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have not just life, but everlasting life. The height of God's love, which is the result of the depth of God's love. Paul wants us to be thinking of that sacrificial love of God. That love that is willing to lay down your life. And that's what Jesus does for us on the cross. He lays down his life that we might have life in him. Scripture says that we are saved because of his innocent, perfect suffering and death and dying. We are saved. It's why Paul is able to say at the heart of his message, by grace, you have been saved. It is a gift of God that comes to us through the gift of our Savior, whose birth we just celebrated, God coming near to us. Why? He's the God of the mountains. He's the God who is mighty to save. And that's what God's grace does. So here's my question for you. Where in your life do you need saving? As we enter into this new year, where in your life do you need to be made new? Because that's what God's grace does. It offers us forgiveness of sins, but it also restores us, it renews us. It helps us to be who God has made us to be, to live out of that image as sons and daughters. Heirs of the kingdom. God's grace frees us to live our life not for ourselves, but for him. It brings me to the journal. Why are we asking that each of us bring God's word with us, and in addition to that, a journal? A journal that we want to gift to you that has these words from Ephesians 3:20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor John mentioned that the next series that we're going to be starting this next Sunday is called Lessons from the Mount. Anybody want to guess what we might be looking at through this series? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. It is the sermon of which Jesus begins his earthly ministry. When Pastor John and his wife Beth, when my wife Trudy and I were blessed by you as a family here at Messiah to go to the Holy Land, we were able to go to the place where it is believed that Jesus preaches this sermon. It was a beautiful place, lush and green. Again, in the Holy Lands, there are mountains, not quite what we think about, like the Rockies, but they're there. There's the mountains. And on this mountainside, alongside the Sea of Galilee, it is believed that Jesus sat with his disciples and he taught them. Picture 5,000 plus men, women, and children gathered around as Jesus begins to teach. And through these lessons from the Mount, he begins to teach them about why he came and the life that we are meant to live. We are told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on this mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. One of the ways that Jesus is referred to throughout the Gospels is as a rabbi. A rabbi is a teacher. A rabbi is one who would instruct, who would teach what it means to live out God's word, and each rabbi had then disciples, those who followed. When Jesus sits down, that was the posture that the rabbi would take. They would sit when they were teaching, when they were talking about what it means to live these things out in the everyday places of life as the disciples gathered around. And that's what we want to do in the new year. We want to sit at Jesus' feet. We want to hear from Jesus what he teaches us in his word. And then the purpose of the journal is for us to be reflecting on that, writing it down. And the hope is that through the course of the year, we're able to look back and we're able to see again and again those amazing things that God is doing in our life and the lives of others around us. And at times, things that we couldn't even comprehend because he is able to do far more than we could ask or think. You see, as we sit at Jesus' feet, we want to be learning from him what it means to live out of this place of grace. It is grace that saves us. It is grace that forgives us. But it's also that gift of grace that transforms us. And it's not our works that save us. No, it's the gift of God. It's the work of Jesus who died for us, who rose for us, but who lives in us. And Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, now we in Christ are made anew. We're restored. We're redeemed. For the purpose of living out these good things. In fact, the very last thing we're going to hear in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus says, okay, you've heard these words, you've listened to me, now, are you going to be foolish or wise? Because the wise will be those who build their house on the rock. The wise are those who hear my words and what? Put them into practice, to live them out and to do it. And so as we capture what God is doing in our lives, what Jesus is teaching us in his word, as we live these things out, we want to, throughout the year, be able to look back and hopefully by the end of the year, look back and see God's grace taking effect, to see these words becoming true. Would you read these words on the screen with me one more time? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work with us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, our hope is that throughout the year we will have opportunities like Paul to have our own Baraka moments, our moments of pausing and giving praise and thanks to God for the many blessings that he has and is and will do in our lives. So much more than we would ever dare imagine to think. To him be praise, glory, and honor, and all of God's people said, amen.